Okay, every year we do our Haggadah Shir. So we're going to do our Haggadah Shir now for the next 40, 45 minutes or so. Every year I pick one Haggadah that I like to do. I used to do like Rabbi Razin, my Chavrusa used to have this minhag, he still does, of just, you know, piling up like 50 Haggadahs and taking one vart from each and then like just saying a Shir with 50 vartlach on the Haggadah. So I used to do that, but I didn't like it so much. I didn't like doing it. It was, first of all, it was too hard to do, but also like I didn't get like a sense of like someone's view of the Seder and of the Haggadah. So in the last 4 or 5 years, I've been trying to like take a Haggadah and go through that Haggadah from beginning to end, or as much of it as I can. So at least like if someone has a mahalich in the Seder, we'll get an appreciation of that mahalich in the Seder and have a lot of nice vartlach. My only requirements for a Haggadah that I'm going to use is that it always has to be a commentary that was written on the Haggadah, meaning I don't like these Haggadahs that are like the, I shouldn't say, I'm not going to give examples, but I don't like these Haggadahs that are like, the person never wrote a commentary on the Haggadah, but when you put his commentary on Chumash in the Sfarim store, it doesn't sell. But when you put it on the Haggadah, you put his commentary on Parshas Bo and Beshalach, and you put it on different parts of the Haggadah, well then people buy it, so they call it a Haggadah, but it's not what the person at all thought you should get out of the Haggadah. So I always try to focus on things that are actually a commentary on the Haggadah. And the second requirement is that it be Geshmak, that it be enjoyable Haggadah. So this year I did the Rav Zalman Saratskin Haggadah. Rav Zalman Saratskin actually wrote a commentary on the Haggadah Hashir v'Hashevach. Rav Zalman Saratskin was the Lotzker Rav. He was born in 1881, according to his Wikipedia page, and died in 1966. He was a Litvish Rav. He was the son-in-law of Rav Lazer Gordon, the Telzer Rosh Yeshiva. But he started his career as a rav in Belarus, in the town near Vilna, and he because it was so close to Vilna, he developed a good relationship with Rav Chaim Eiser, and then later on he had a relationship with the Chavetz Chaim as well. He was the rav in the town where the Chavetz Chaim was originated from. So the Chavetz Chaim used to say, he's like, that's my rabbi. The Rav Zalman Saratskin is his rabbi, you know, because the Chavetz Chaim needed a rabbi. And then later on he became very close with Chazon Ish, and he wrote a very well-known and beautiful commentary on Chumash, 5 volumes, we have it in the Beis Medrash here, called Aznayim LaTorah. So it's a phenomenal drush sefer on Chumash, beautiful, beautiful sefer on Chumash. And he wrote this sefer on the Haggadah as well. He was a survivor of the Holocaust, and he moved to Eretz Yisrael toward the end of his life, I believe, and he was involved in Chinuch Atzmai, etc. He died in 1966. You can go visit his kever on Har HaMenuchos in the Chelek HaRabbanim on Har HaMenuchos. So Rav Zalman Saratskin, phenomenal darshan. His children, his Zeinuklach, are still Rosh Yeshiva and the Telzer Yeshiva in Cleveland and in Telstone in Eretz Yisrael. You know, in Petach Tikva, the Lamji Yeshiva in Petach Tikva, he has descendants that are everywhere, still spreading Torah. So I wanted to go through some of the Divrei Torah of Rav Zalman Saratskin. I don't know how many we'll go through. Well, I guess we'll go through till I run out of time. We'll go through as many as we can. So the Haggadah starts with Halach Ma'ani Diachla V'Sana Barad Mitzrayim. We say this is the bread of affliction that our forefathers ate in the land of Mitzrayim, and we invite everybody in. Kol Dich V'Niyeseh V'Yechol Kol Ditzrich Yeseh V'Yevsach. So Rav Zalman Saratskin points out that everyone asks 3 kashas. The night of 4 kashas, but everyone asks 3 kashas on this paragraph in particular. First of all, he says, who are we inviting exactly at the Seder? We're inviting Aniyim, but the door is closed already, so you can't be inviting anyone. So that's kasha number one. Kasha number two, he says, why do we say Kol Dichvin after Kiddush and Tibul Rishon? Forget about the fact that the door is locked, at least do it at the beginning of the meal. But we already said Kiddush, and we already did a dipping already, we already did Karbat. Now we're going to first invite people in. And also, on Pesach, if there's ever a time of year where there shouldn't be any aniyim that are dichvin and ditzrich, there shouldn't be any people who really need anything, it would be Pesach. Because what's the very first halacha the Rama writes in all of Hilchas Pesach? Malus Chitin. You need to provide poor people with their Pesach needs. So if there's ever a time that the Jewish people should not have people who are in need, it will be by the time you get to the Seder. So who exactly are you inviting at that time period? So Rav Zalman Saratzin suggests the following. He says that the purpose of this paragraph is in order to be ma'orer the ruach of a Jew, bizmana galus, that a person in a time of galus can feel dejected. And we are celebrating Pesach on Admas Nechar in foreign lands, and that's when this paragraph was instituted. This was a later addition. And what's the raya that this is a later addition? All the mefarshim on the Agada point out this is a later addition to the Agada. What's the greatest raya that it was a later addition to the Agada? It's in Aramaic. So clearly, this was not a geula paragraph. This is a galus paragraph. This is something that was added into the Agada later on. And the elephant in the room is, on the night of the Seder, how can we celebrate Zman Cheruseinu when we are in a matzav of Shibud, when we're not in a matzav of Cherus? So he says, what were the mitzvahs halayla? Pesach, matzah, maror. So Pesach is about Geula. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Pesach al batei avoseinu. And maror is very clearly about Shibud. But matzah has got a hybrid message to it. Matzah, on the one hand, has shnei panim, he says. On the one hand, it's lechem oni, it's the bread of affliction, darko shalani beprusa. On the other hand, it's lo hispik b'tzekem shalav aseinu lahachmitz. The dough didn't have time to rise, and therefore it's the bread of geula. It's the bread of redemption. So that's the double character of matzah. So when Klal Yisrael was in Eretz Yisrael and Yoshev Betach in Eretz Yisrael, so even though then we have to talk about the bad times as well and talk about the whole story, but that's only to emphasize how far we've come. To go, me'afelu la'ora, mishibud l'geula, me'avdus l'cheirus, it just makes for a better story. Riches to riches stories aren't good stories. Rags to riches stories are good stories. It's no fun if you tell a story. There was a guy, he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, and he inherited $1 billion, and he's still a billionaire. Like, it's not exciting, you know, that's not... But if you say, you know, someone started with nothing, and he worked... So we tell the story, we're maskil b'gnos, that's when we're experiencing geula. The only reason we're talking about the bad times is so that we can emphasize just how far we come. So the ikar dagesh of the night is on the Pesach, and the tzad of matzah, that's the success, that's the real emphasis. But now, we're celebrating a Pesach in Galus. We're very far from Eretz Yisrael, and we're missing the Iker symbol of Cherus of the whole night. The Iker symbol of Cherus is the Pesach, and we don't have it. All we got is the Marar, the Oni, the Merirus. So a person could feel very dejected from that. And he says, when you lift up the Ka'ara with the Matzos, you say, that the matzav that we're in, that we see of matzos as lachma anya, we only see that side of the matzah. We only see the lechem oni. That should remind us of the galus, and we should remember that we are in a time of churban, and that it is, and that we have to be misabel on the loss of the Karban Pesach and the loss of all the positive things. Aval bal nisya eish, he says. But don't give up hope. Why? Because kol dichven yesev yechol, kol ditzrich yesev yifsach. Because sometimes when there were two things that were taken from us. There's what he calls the shod v'hashever. Hashod, he says, that they took away our land. They exiled us from our land. And Rishay Aretz come every once in a while, and they persecute us and do all sorts of terrible things to us. And because of that, we find ourselves giving up hope and saying, how could Klal Yisrael survive? How are we ever going to make it through when people are after us? So to that we say, Kol Dichvin. Anyone who's afraid of starving, anyone who's afraid of the physical persecution that we're suffering, don't worry, Yesei V'Yechal, should come and should hear about how we ate in Golos Mitzrayim and how we managed to physically survive through worse physical times than this one. Tevin lo nasan lavadecha, they didn't give us any straw, they just imposed on us to make bricks. The Shibud was overwhelming. Women, Bechevle Leida, had to continue brick making while they were literally in labor. It was unbelievable physical persecution. And you know what? We survived. The lechemoni is the symbol of our survival through physical distress. But then there's a second issue. There's the shever, that our ruach is broken. That we see that there's a tremendous hester punin, that rishayim are successful, that tzaddikim suffer. So that, in order to wake up our ruach and to give us a little bit of hope, so he says that's the kol ditzrich yesei v'yivsach. We say Pesach Zu al Shumma. We talk about how the Klal Yisrael and Memtes Sharei Tumah were also able to achieve the Amunah of a Karban Pesach, and we strengthen our Amunah through the messages of the Karban Pesach, and that's why we address both points. We're not inviting anyone in. He says that's obviously not the point. There are no poor people, hopefully, that don't have anything to eat. We already took care of them with the Molos Chitim. The door is closed already. We're not. It's not about speaking to people from the outside. It's about giving chizik to people on the inside who may come to the Seder and say, what's all this for? Why are we celebrating this? We're not in any better situation. It's hard for us to relate to because we are in a uniquely advantageous situation, you know, period in history. It's historical, really, the level of success that Klal Yisrael has been able to experience in America and the level of comfort that we have in this gala. So we don't necessarily come with this kind of kasha. But you have to realize, it wasn't all that long ago that people would come to a seder, that a couple of inmates at a concentration camp would somehow sneak some wheat and grind it and make a little kazayas of matzah and try to hold a seder in the middle of in a ghetto in a concentration camp. And the kasha had to be asked. What in the world are we doing? He says that's what this paragraph is coming to address. That whether you're worried about your physical persecution and you think that there's no hope for Klal Yisrael, or whether it's you're worried about your spiritual persecution, either way, we have hope because we've seen that it happened before and that we were successful and we came out of it, and we have to be mechazik ourselves in Emunah. And that's what the Seder night is. It's an odyssey in Emunah. A little bit of a shorter part now, he says, on Halach Ma'anya. He points out that the Kalach Ma'anya is the first time we actually start telling the story of what happened to our forefathers. It's the beginning of Sibur Yitzchak Mitzrayim. Dachlav, a son of Ba'ar de Mitzrayim. Now, the halacha is that to fulfill the mitzvah of Sibur Yitzchak Mitzrayim, there are many differences between Sibur Yitzchak Mitzrayim and Zechiras Yitzchak Mitzrayim. One of the differences is that Sibur Yitzchak Mitzrayim has to be done b'derech she'ila u'tshuva. It has to be done in question and answer format. And we do that for the most part. We ask the Manishtana, we have Avad Mayinu. So we do the Derek Sheila Tshuva. We're encouraging questions, we do weird things, so the kids will ask, why are we doing that? So you could ask, okay, no. So I won't ask anymore. So, but we're always encouraging questions, we're trying to encourage questions all the time, it's all the Derek Sheila Tshuva. Yet the very first thing we do of Sibur Yitzchak Mitzrayim, there's no Sheila and Tshuva. It's just, hey everybody, what's going on? Where did the Sheila and Tshuva go? So he writes that, and this is an interesting idea, he says, that Halach Ma'anya is an answer to the Ben She'ini Yodea Lishal. He says, that's why it's in Aramaic. We got to speak a language that a kid who's not that educated, who doesn't know that much, will be able to understand. He says, this is our answer to the Ini Yodea Lishal. We give a very simple Lechem Oni type of demonstration. We break the matzah before we say the Haggadah, and we show them that it's Lechem Oni. This is what our Madako Shalani Prusa, this is what our forefathers ate. And there are a lot of mitzvahs that we still need to do. Kol Dichvin Yesei V'Yechol. It's the entire Chag. We're going to be eating together and we're going to be learning together. Kol Ditzrich Yesei V'Yifsach. We're going to be having guests, and we're going to be in addition to the Bnei Abayis and throughout the entire Yantif, it's going to be an odyssey of learning. And we're telling him, look, this is how it starts. This is it's a message to ourselves. It's a message to the Ein Yodei Lishal who didn't ask a question, that we're trying to show him what it's all about. And that's what sets the tone. He also mentions on Kol Dichvin Yesei V'Yechol. He says, you know, we start the Seder with Kol Dichvin Yesei V'Yechol, with the idea that poor people are in need and that we want to take care of the poor. So it's a tremendous emphasis to put at the beginning of a Seder. It's actually, as I mentioned before, how we start Hilchos Pesach also. But he says it's a little bit odd that we do that, because the mitzvah to give to the poor and to take care of people is a mitzvah of Simchas Yantiv in every Yantiv. The Rambam writes, how does one experience Simchas Yantiv? It's if you're just enjoying yourself and your family, then it's Simchas Kreso. You have to help other people, and that's true of every single Yantiv. It's not about Pesach only. So why the extra emphasis on Pesach? So he says, and there's a good say over a boulevard, he says, when it comes to Sukkis, let's say you don't help out other people. So you didn't do the Simchas Yontif of Sukkot, of helping out other people. But do you still remember the Ananiya Kavu just as well? Yes, absolutely. Do you still remember the Sukkot Mamish just as well? Yes, absolutely. When it comes to Shavuos, if you didn't give other people, you didn't help other people, so you don't have that Simcha of helping other people. But do you still, commemorating Matan Torah just as well? Absolutely. But when it comes to Pesach, what are we remembering? We're remembering Avadim Ayinu. Well, we obviously don't remember Avadim Ayinu if we're not relating to those who are suffering right now. That part of the experience of feeling Avdus is knowing what it feels like and therefore wanting to take care of others who are going through many of those same challenges. So if a person doesn't help out other people, well, then he's not experiencing Pesach. It's not just not experiencing Simchas Yontif. He's missing the ikar of the day, of what it means to feel like Chayev Adam Liros Esatzmo Kilu Hu Yatzamim Mitzrayim. He's not feeling that if he doesn't help out other people. And that's why that sets the tone for the entire Seder. So that's what he has to say on Halach Ma'anya. He has more to say, but that's part of what he has to say on Halach Ma'anya. Moving along, we'll skip right through Manishtana. There will be, I'm sure, a lot of different Torah Manishtana. Avadim Ayinu. So Avadim Ayinu is how, according to one opinion in the Gemara, how we're maskil b'gnosim sayim b'shavach. The Mishnah tells us in Pesachim Kuftas Vav, Kuftas Zayin, that you have to be maskil b'gnosim sayim b'shavach. You have to start with the negative and then tell the story where you end with the positive. So the Gemara says, how do you do that? How you maskil b'gnosim sayim b'shavach? So the Gemara says, my b'gnos, Rav Amar mitchilo of the Avadazara hayo v'seinu. Ushmuel Amar Avadim Ayinu l'parav b'mitzrayim. Rav says that you have to talk about how our avos were of the Avodah Zarah originally. Really? That's scandalous. Do people know about that? That our avos were of the Avodah Zarah? You allowed to say such a thing? Who are our avos? Just think about this for a second. He doesn't say this, which is important for you to realize. Who are our avos? You say it every day in Shemoneh Esrei several times. At least twice, right? So who are our avos? Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. Those are our avos. They were of the Avodah Zarah. Who's the of the Avodah Zarah? So the Haggadah goes, it's Terach, Avi Avram was of the Avodah Zarah. But he wasn't one of the Avos, so what are we talking about? So what it's talking about is Avram, Pashtus. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Avodah Zarah that Avram Avinu was a good boy. And you know what good boys do? They listen to their parents. So he was raised originally, you know, his father said, okay, now we batter this Avodah Zarah, now we do this, and we defecate in front of that one, and we do whatever the, and then we pass and burn a child through that one, whatever the Avodah Zarahs were, he was doing all the, and then he discovered God, and he got in his soapbox, and he started spreading the religion, but that was later on. Mitchila, the very beginning, he was of the Avodah Zarah. That's Maschil B'gnus. Yeah. It wasn't by the other Avos, it was only Avram. Yeah, it's a good question why it's Avos saying. Shmuel says that we start with Avadim Ayinu. Why? That's the Gnus. The Gnus is not a spiritual Gnus, it's a physical Gnus. It's Avadim Ayinu. So, which of these makes more sense? Which of these is more mistaven? So, he suggests that, what are we really celebrating tonight? Meaning, are we celebrating the fact that we happen to not be a slave nation? There have been a lot of nations that were slave nations and then weren't slave nations. You know, like the African American community in the United States doesn't have a seder. They don't have a mitzvah to have a seder because of Abraham Lincoln and, you know, whatever. They don't have a mitzvah like that. We're not you know, the fact that we're physically free is nice. It's good. It's important. But is that really what it's all about? What's the Havamina to say that it should be all about Avadim Ayinu? So says Ramas Raskin, the Havamina is a fascinating Havamina. It says Shmuel must hold that not doing Avodah Zarah, let's put it this way, what we're supposed to be doing on the night of the Seder is a night of Shevach V'Odah HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what Hashem did for us. What Hashem did for us is He took us out of slavery. The fact that we're no longer of the Avodah Zarah, that's not what Hashem did for us. Hakol bidei shemayim chutz miyira shemayim. That's what we did. That's our own bechir chavshes. We did that. That's what Hashem's doing. So we can give a karas hatov for what we've done? So that's why he says we start with Avadim Ayinu. But Rav disagrees. Why does Rav disagree? It's a good point, right? We did that. Hashem didn't do that. So why does Rav disagree? So he says Rav disagrees because you can have people who try everything. They do their best. And you know what? They're still not able to perpetuate the messages of Yiddishkeit to their children and their grandchildren. They still can't make it work. Somehow it doesn't resonate. people who have, you know, whatever they call it, the rabbi son syndrome or whatever, you know, people who have all the best intentions in mind, put in the most work and think about chinuch and work on it, and somehow the children just don't quite turn out, you know, the dori doros, and sometimes it does work. And what it requires is siyata d'shmaya. It requires a very healthy dose of siyata d'shmaya. People sometimes ask me for parenting advice. And the first advice is, mostly because I don't know much, but the first advice is daven. Daven for your children. Make sure that you daven. Because you need siyata d'shmaya in all of these things. And that's the halacha. That's why we do start, we say both. We do avodah me'inu and mitchila of the avodah zara. And that's really, it's mefurish in the Rambam. The Rambam writes, ha'ikur she'shasal Avraham avinu nekar v'chozum b'nei Yaakov l'tos ha'olam t'ayuson me'avas Hashem osanu u'mishamru es ha'shvul Avraham avinu shalach aleim es Moshe. That God loved us and therefore He didn't let us just disappear how we would have had it not been for Hashem's love for us to bring us back and to make sure to keep the promise to Avraham Avinu. So that's what he says is the idea of Maschil Begunos Samasayim B'Shevach. Okay, then we go on to say that Ilu Lo Hotzei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Savaseinu Mimitzrayim Harei Anu V'Neinu, that we and our children of Vnei V'Neinu and our children's children would all be Meshubadim L'Paro B'Mitzrayim. So he asks the questions that everyone asks. Number one, why does it say, first starts off by Avadim Ayinu, and then we say if Hashem didn't take us out, we would be not Avadim, but we would be Mishubadim. That's question number one. And also, how would you say that if Paro didn't, if Hashem didn't take us out, we would still be slaves to Paro? So you'd say we and all of our descendants, right? Or we as the ultimate descendants. Anu uvenenu uvene venenu. What? If you say us and our children, so I understand that, and that probably means v'chulei. But why stop at the third generation? Anu, v'neinu, uv'nei v'neinu. What's the symbolism of Dafka highlighting three generations that would still be meshubad to Paro and Mitzrayim? So as Yesodi says, is that there are two types of shibud, and all of the mefarshim on the Haggadah talk about the double shibud. There's the Shibud HaNefesh and the Shibud HaGuf. I try to look through when you learn a Haggadah, what's the theme that he tries to develop in this Haggadah. So the truth is, Rav Zalman Soloveitchik doesn't really have a theme, but everyone's theme is that there's a double Shibud and therefore a double Geula. There's a Geula HaNefesh and a Geula HaGuf. A Shibud HaNefesh and a Shibud HaGuf. If I had to say one more theme that comes up in this Haggadah, it's that it was clearly written by someone who lived through the Holocaust. That a lot of what he describes about anti-Semitism and about the way, as you'll see, hopefully we'll get to some of those Divrei Torah, you'll see a lot of his description is based on what he had seen in his life. So he says, based on that Yisod, Avad Mayinu is the Shibud HaGuf. Mitchila of the Avad Zara is the Shibud HaNefesh. But he says it's more than that. Avad Mayinu Liparo. Avad Mayinu is the Shibud HaGuf. Liparo is a Shibud HaNefesh or a Shibud HaRuach. Why? Because Paro made himself into a god, and look who we have to work for, look who our boss is. The fact that it's Paro is particularly disturbing for people who are an Am Kadosh. You know, imagine you're working in the mailroom in a big corporation, and you're like the lowest guy on the totem pole, but you're 10 times smarter than the CEO, and you know it, and you're more capable of doing his job than he is. How degrading that is, that you're making his coffee when you know you could do his job 10 times better than him. You're so much above him. So the fact that we were working for Paro is just degrading. That it's one thing to be that we were doing hard work, the Shibud HaGuf, but it's a certain type of Shibud HaNefesh that we're going through the degrading experience of being Meshubadim LeParo. So we say, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't take us out, you know what would have happened eventually? We would have gotten out. We would have, you know, Paro would have freed us at some point in the process. And then we would no longer be Avadim. But you know, we still would be. We would be Mishubadim, because we would always have to hold up Paro as a hero. We would always, for the rest of our lives, we would always have to look at Paro as a hero. And that's degrading to us. To take Menuvel Zeh, to take such a Menuvel and have to bow to this Menuvel, have to look at him like he's some sort of hero, that would have been degrading. So we tell us, Anu uvenenu uvenei vanenu. Why do we highlight three generations? He says, because there's a halacha. There aren't that many halachas about grandchildren. What if grandfather's chayiv to a grandchild? If you ever learn Maseches Kiddushin, though, there is one clear halacha that a grandfather's chayiv to a grandchild, and that is, Lelamdo Torah. A grandfather has to teach a grandchild Torah. So Dafka in the paragraph where we say, you know, we would all be Meshubad. We would all have this Geulas, this Shibud HaNefesh still, if not for the fact that Hashem took us out. We highlight the idea that Hashem took us out, and therefore we're able to experience the ultimate Geulas HaNefesh in being Melamei Torah LeDoros, symbolized by teaching Torah to a third generation. Anu, Uvnenu, Uvnevanenu. That there are three generations where the Chiyuv of Talmud Torah, the Chiyuv of Talmud Torah extends. Quick vart, he says, the next story, Meister Rav Lazar, Bishor Rav Lazar ben Azariah, they were sitting in Bnei Brak, and they were Mesaper, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Kiva, they were sitting in Bnei Brak, and they were Mesaper, Vitzias Mitzrayim, till the Talmidim came. So just a very important Musar, he says, where were the Talmidim until this point? They just show up now? Where were they until now? Why are they only showing up in the morning? Shouldn't they be with the Rebbe's discussing Sibritzis Mitzrayim? Says Rav Zalman Saratskin, no, it's Pesach, you're supposed to be with your family, you're not supposed to be with your Rebbe's. Important Muslim. People think, oh, if only I could have a Seder by this Gadol, that Gadol. That's not what it's about. You're not supposed to be by this Gadol or that Gadol. You're supposed to be with your family on Pesach. So that's where they were. They were with their families like they were supposed to be. And then they went to learn the next morning. They went to the Rebbeim the next morning. It also highlights, he points out, the fact that the Talmidim weren't there, and that who were the people sitting around this table were people who knew everything, highlights the end of the last paragraph, because the previous paragraph had said, even if kulanu chachamu, kulanu nevanim, kulanu zekenim, we still have to be mesar b'tzis b'tzayim. All the people around the table were chachamim, nevanim, zekenim. And you can't even say, yeah, but they were doing it for the Talmidim, because the Talmidim weren't even there, as we see. The Talmidim just showed up later, so they were doing it for themselves. So you see that kolam arba hareza meshubach from that itself. Then we move on. We say keneged arba banim dibra Torah, that the Torah speaks to four sons, and there's a lot to be said, obviously, about the four sons. But here's one that he has one idea that I had never seen before, and I thought was extraordinarily insightful. He says it's interesting to note when the Chumash describes four times that your child's going to ask you a question. That's why the Baal Haggadah came up with four sons. He didn't just make up, how many types of people are there on earth? Oh, there are four types of people. There are an infinite, it depends how you want to divide up people. You can make an infinite number of categories. But the Chumash actually talks about four times where your child is going to ask you, and here's what you say to him. Now, he uses the word machar, tomorrow, when it talks about the Chacham and the Tam. By the Chacham, ki yishalcha bincha machar leimar ma'edus v'chugum ha'mishpatim v'asher tziva Hashem elokeinu haschem. And by the time, v'ayah ki yishalcha bincha machar ma'zos. By the Rasha and the Einu Yodea Lishal, v'ayah ki yomru aleichem b'neichem. It doesn't say, v'gadda levincha b'yomahu. The word machar doesn't appear. Why is it by the Chacham and the Tam? And there seems to be a connection between the Chacham and the Tam and a connection between the Rasha and Einu Yodea Lishal. Why do I say that? What's the introductory line? Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shnos and Torah Le'amo Yisrael, Baruch Hu. Keneged Arba Banim Dibur Torah. So, four Baruchs, four Banim. Chacham, Rasha, Tam, Einu Yodei Elishol. If you line them up, the Rasha and the Einu Yodei Elishol both relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the same way. It's Baruch Hu. It creates a very clear link between the Rasha and the Einu Yodei Elishol. The Chacham is Baruch HaMakom, the Tam is Baruch Shanas and Torah Le'am Yisrael. But both the Rasha and the Einu Yodei Elishol are Baruch Hu. So Zalman Saratskin says a fascinating yisod. There are two types of people. There aren't four types of people. There are two types of people in this world. There are leaders and there are followers. And there are... The leaders very often have a tremendous hashpa'ah on the followers. The Chacham is a leader. The Rasha is a leader. The Tam is a follower who's under the influence of the Chacham. The Einu Yodei Elishol is a follower who's under the influence of the Rasha. And he says, that's why when we say to the Einu Yodei Elishol, right, we talk to the Einu Yodei Elishol, and we let him know, we say, so he says, even when we respond to the Rasha, right, we talk to the Rasha, we say, leave low, low, right? So we leave a low low, says Rav Zalman Saratskin. When you say leave a low low, you turn to the Einu Yodei Elishol and you point to the Rasha and you say, leave a low low, look who your heroes are. It didn't happen to him. He's a nobody. That's not someone that you want to use as a role model. I remember there was a kid in the school many, many years ago who we were a little worried about whether, you know, what direction he was going to go in. you know, substance issues and things like that. It was the only time we ever have a Kamenetsky, he says before a school trip, he says if you, before an overnight trip, if you feel like you have to smoke or do something on this trip, that you come to me and talk to me about it beforehand. And we'll, and this kid actually came to me and he said, I can't go 24 hours without smoking. I have to, like, we were very worried about this kid. Whatever. There was a lot of issues. And I remember talking to him once and we were outside David's Pizza. We were went out for lunch. And he, I don't know if it still is this way, but it used to be that there was a chevra there that maybe wasn't, you know, whatever. So he said, I remember this so clearly. He points to outside the window and he says, Rabbi, between me and you, I don't want to end up in the winner's circle over there. You know, you sometimes like have this clear demonstration of what I don't want to be. So he said, that's what we do for the Inyo De Elishal, who's under the hashpa of the Rasha. Leave lo. We point to the Rasha and we say, nothing happens for him. So why is it Machar? He says, because the Rasha and the Inyo De Elishal aren't going to ask about Machar. The, even when things are times of Geula and things are good times and everything's going well, the Rasha and the Inyo De Elishal are still going to have kashas. Ma'avodah zazlechem, none of this is shaykh to me, none of this relates to me. The Chacham and his protege, the Tam, are Shoel Maha Idus Vachukum HaMishpatim. That's only Machar, when a lot of halachos were forgotten in Yimei Evlo Shel Moshe, and all of the Nisim were Etmol, all of the Nisim were in the past tense already. So they're looking to be educated on things that are no longer there, that are forgotten. They're not suffering from Emunah issues. They need to be educated. But that's only Machar. That's only when you have time to forget things. But the Rasha, they Neo De Elishal, they have their Emunah issues. They of their challenges where they're trying to challenge us. Another quick part that you say, can I get Abra Ben and Dibra Torah? Four children. Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, Echad Tam, Ve'echad Shein Yodei Elishal. Oh, so 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 equals 4? What's the Chiddush? What would have been lost if it just would have said, can I get Abra Ben and Dibra Torah? Chacham, Rasha, Tam, Ve'en Yodei Elishal. Or is that Echad Chacham? Echad, one is this, one is that. So you have to remember that the Haggadah was written by Tanayim. You know, this is all like, look at it like you're learning Gemara. It's like when I'm learning, when a lot of times my 11th grade shiur, a kid gets up to the word Ma in the Gemara. And he always translates it. The kid who's not used to Gemara will always translate the word Ma as what. And it almost never means what in the Gemara. What does Ma always mean? Just like. Echad very rarely means one in the Gemara. What does Echad mean? Echad zev, Echad zev. Whether this way or whether that way. Echad means either or. Whether it's this, whether it's that. A person might think I have to educate my Chacham. He's the one with potential. He's the one I got to take care of. The Rasha is a lost cause. The Tam Inyo De Elishal don't have much potential anyway. No. Echad Chacham. The Echad Rasha. Sometimes people make the opposite mistake. I only need to educate the Rasha. I need to put all my kochos into the Rasha. Because he's the one I'm most nervous about. He could be the most destructive. And at the expense of forgetting about the Chacham and the Tam and the Inyo De Elishal. No, whether he's a Chacham, whether he's a Rasha, whether he's a Tam, whether he's an Inyo De Elishal. You might think, Inyo De Elishal, okay, he's going to be a nice guy. You know, let him just be. No. That's what he says. He says, At Pesachlo. Why is it at? It should be atah pesachlo. So Zalman Sraskin says, because the Haggadah wants to give us a remez. A lot of times you have an Inyo De Elishal, you say, he's not going to know that much anyway. Like, what can I teach him? I'll give him something. I'll give him, I'll tell him karpas means carrots, radishes, potatoes, celery, and, you know, whatever. And that's something he could get, and, you know, that'll be nice. That's good enough. No, aleph through tough. The first letter in the Aleph base is Aleph, the last one is tough. You don't settle on anything less for the Inyo De Elishal than you would for anyone else. You make sure you educate him, and if you can't do it in the way that you educate other people, find a way. You can't settle on his behalf. You have to teach him everything. May Aleph Yatav, Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, no matter what kind of child you have, you have to teach him. Let's skip around a little bit. Let's see. Ah, my favorite one. The whole Haggadah. I got to say this one. Pasuk says, Haggadah tells us, Baruch Shomer after Chasal Yisrael, Hashem kept his promises to the Jewish people. Baruch Hu Shakarish Baruch Hu Chishev Esaket, Hashem told Avram Avinu way back when in the Bris Bein Abbasar, Vayomer LaAvram, Yadoa Teda Ki Ger Yezaracha Beretz Lelehem Va'avodim Vinu Osam Arba Meir Shana. The Jewish people are going to be slaves, roughly translated, the Jewish people are going to be slaves for 400 years. Aviz Kasha, we were only slaves 210 years. So now what's the answer everyone says? So there are a few answers everyone says. No, what do you got? 400 years, let's take that one. 400 years from Yitzchak. Why on earth would you count from Yitzchak? We weren't slaves in the time. That always struck me as the biggest cop-out answer in the entire world. We start gathering from Yitzchak. So, like, it was 600 years if you start counting from, like, I mean, you could make it like, or 1,000 years, start counting from Adam. You know, start he's talking to Avram. Why would you start counting from Yitzchak? You want to start counting from Avram? Count from Avram. You know, why would you start counting from Yitzchak? Why does that even make sense? Furthermore, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos, La'olam al yishan Adam b'no b'ein abanim. A person should never treat one child more favorably than others. Don't be mishana b'no b'ein abanim. That's important to point out. This does not mean that every kid should always be treated equally, because that would be stupid. There are parents that do that. That's what we call, there's a name for them, they're called bad parents. Right? If a kid comes home with a good report card and a lot of and nachas calls about what wonderful midos he has and this and that, and he's doing everything right, and his brother assaulted another kid in school and whatever, and stole something. Okay, we're all going to the Yankee game to celebrate. You know, you don't do that. That's bad. That's not treating everyone equally. That's just being silly. That's like if, you know, treating people equally is if someone is nice to you, you're nice to them, and someone is mean to you, you're not going to go out of your way to be super nice to them, because that's just the way people. So someone does good, you treat them good. But what if you have all tzaddikim? All your kids are tzaddikim. And one of them you buy a special coat for. That's, the Gemara says, don't do that. Lolam al yishan adam ben bein abanim. He had all these tzaddikim, all of his kids were. We don't blame Avram for being mishana ben bein abanim by treating Yitzchak better than Yishmael. We don't blame Rivka for treating Yaakov better than Esav. Because that's natural. Of course she's going to do that. But you have all tzaddikim, mitaso shlema. Don't treat one differently, the Gemara says, because as a result of Yaakov buying shnei slaim milas, a little coat for Yosef, a little garment for Yosef, nisgalgel adavar v'yardu avaseinu l'mitzrayim, that's how we ended up in Mitzrayim. Asks Rav Zalman Sarotskin, that is a lie. That is not how we ended up in Mitzrayim. We ended up in Mitzrayim because God told Yaakov's grandfather that we were going to go to Mitzrayim. It was preordained way before Yaakov that we were going to go into Mitzrayim for 400 years. So again, two kashas. Kasha number one, why does it say, it says 400 years in the Pasuk, so how does 210 years work out? And don't tell me Yitzchak, because that's like the biggest cop-out answer ever. And kasha number two, how can the Gemara blame Yaakov for Galus Mitzrayim? It was preordained from the times of Yaakov's grandfather that we were going to go to Mitzrayim. So says Zalman Sarotsky, you have to know how to read a Pasuk. Listen to the Pasuk again. He said, let me give you the Yisod first, and then the Yisod is, the Pasuk is not describing a period in history that's going to last 400 years. The Pasuk is describing three distinct periods in history that all together will equal 400 years. Big difference. There are three distinct periods that the Pasuk is describing that altogether, Hashem is telling Avram, are going to last 400 years, and Hashem never tells Avram how long each of those periods are going to last. Just that in total, there'll be 400 years. First period could be 300, next one 50, next one 50. First one could be 10, it could break up however you want. That was not yet determined in the times of Avram. Vayomer la'Avram, he tells Avram Avinu, Yadoa teda, you shall surely know. Here we go. Number one, Ki ger yezaracha. Your children are going to be made to feel like a stranger. Who was the first Jew to ever be told, get out of here, we don't want you here, you need to leave? Yitzchak was the first one to ever go through that experience. Your wife is too beautiful, we have Yetzer Haras, you need to get out. Ger Yezarach, he was in his own land. He was in Eretz Yisrael. Ola Shlema, he never left there. Ger Yezarach, he was made to feel like a stranger. That's Tkufa number one. Be'eretz lo lahem. Then there's going to be a tkufa where somebody is be'eretz lo lahem, where they have to be sent out of Israel, they have to run out of Eretz Israel. Who is the one that had to run out of Eretz Israel? That was Yaakov. Yaakov had to run to Lavan. He had to leave to a land that did not belong to him. And then a third tkufa, va'avadim vi'inu osan. They're going to be slaves and they're going to be afflicted. And how long is all of that going to last? Arba me'o shana. Altogether, it's going to be 400 years. So says Rav Zalman Tzuratzkin. Why do we start from Yitzchak? It's not a cop-out answer. It's when the pasuk starts. Ger Yezaracha is Yitzchak. How do I know it's Yitzchak? Zaracha. Ki bi Yitzchak yikari lecha zera. Avram is told. Yitzchak is your zera. And only Yitzchak is your zera. Geria zaracha. That's Yitzchak. Zalman Tzuratzkin doesn't make that point, but that's lechara nekuda chashuva, right? It's an important point. But so he says. So why does the Gemara blame Yaakov for niskal gal dav yodav aseinu mitzrayim? We might have had the Eretz lo lahem last for 250 years, and maybe Galus Mitzrayim be a lot shorter. Could have lasted for 300 years, and Galus Mitzrayim be a lot shorter. But because Yaakov favored one of his children amongst the others, the third time frame, that third ingredient, that third time of 200 of Galus Mitzrayim of Avadim Vinu Asan had to last as long as it did. So Yaakov is partially to blame, not for the fact that Galus Mitzrayim happened, but for how long it lasted. That's golden. That's as far as I'm concerned. That's the worth the price of the book for that one. Should we have one more before we finish? We'll do one more. Should we do two little ones? I'll give you a good little one. Havan is chakmelo. So you really hate someone and you want to get rid of them. So what do? You have to come up with chachma nischak malo. I have a great idea. Brilliant. This is going to be the most brilliant strategy in the world. If we hate people, let's enslave them and kill them. I mean, that's like the oldest trick in the book. That's like, it's been done like 1,000 times. Why is that brilliant? Why is that nischak malo? As if it's like some chachma. So says Rav Zalman Tzuratzkin, this is someone who saw the Holocaust in his lifetime. He says, if you're a new king and you need to score quick, cheap political points, and you don't really have much to offer in terms of ideas that are actually beneficial for your country, the easiest way for any king in any country to score quick, cheap political points is anti-Semitism. Everyone will love you. Just hate the Jews, and everyone will love you. Hava Nischak Malo was not a brilliant plan against the Jews. It was a political genius to know that he had nothing to offer. But if he just sells a plan of anti-Semitism, everyone will be on his side. And that's the sad fate that the Jewish people have in so many different stops in our long and bitter galus throughout our history. And that's why in the night of the Seder, we daven that all of those galuyos should end. So we didn't get too far in the Haggadah, but a little bit at least, that all those galuyos should end and that we should be able to experience the Geula L'Shana Abba in Yerushalayim.